You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Welcome back to the Mile High Report Radio Podcast with Adam Almaty and Ian St. Clair. This feels horrible after the last 3 weeks, but it does allow for me to ask the question everyone has been waiting for me to ask. Adam.
Yes, Ian.
Joseph been fired yet?
No, Vance Joseph has not been fired yet. And honestly, I don't think he's going to be fired. It won't be this year, right? We're just going to ride it out. We'll just ride it out. But I don't even know that it'll be next year. I think Vance Joseph is your coach in 2019. He has somehow finagled his way into I think he saved his job over the last 3 weeks, even though I think that this loss to the San Francisco 49ers is a fireable offense. And I will tell you right now before we get started, I have not been this angry about a Broncos loss in a long time. This may be the worst loss I've seen them take since maybe the loss to the Ravens in the playoffs. Is that it? Can I say this is that bad?
I think it's on that level just because this was a playoff game. For all intents and purposes, this was a playoff game for the Broncos because they could not lose. They had to win out, especially with the teams that won in the early games on Sunday. The Colts beating the Texans, the Dolphins beating the Patriots, the Titans beating the Jaguars on Thursday. The Broncos had to win this game to keep the minuscule playoff hopes they had alive. And they couldn't do that against a bad 2-10 San Francisco 49ers team.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think Vance Joseph should have been fired at halftime. He should have been fired at halftime. And if he's not going to be fired after this, there is nothing that will get him fired. Because this was a playoff game. You come out against a bad football team. I get that it's the NFL. I get it. But you come out when you have your playoff lives on the line, and that's how you look? That's how you're prepared? That's the game plan that's put forth? That franchise should be embarrassed by the way they performed in the first half, from the coaching staff down to the ball boys. That was an embarrassment.
I almost would like to see them hire one of the ball boys to be the coach. I don't know where else to go with this. You know, the thing that I'm most angry about, and we talked about this before we started, and I'm going to just put it out there right now. I'm most angry about the fact that I did this to myself, right? We just spent the last 3 weeks kind of slurping the Kool-Aid a little bit, right? And we were, me especially, you are a little more tempered. I think I maybe got caught up in it a little bit. But I feel like I've been lied to here, and the biggest liar is myself. And that's not water that I've been drinking. That's not Kool-Aid I've been drinking. I've been drinking sand. And it's been a mirage. We've been trudging through the desert for the last 3 weeks, and we didn't even know it. And now here we are looking at a team that really should make a playoff push. And I know there's injuries. I think the other thing we can talk about is Chris Harris Jr. going down hurts the secondary. George Kittle takes advantage. You can talk about the loss of Emmanuel Sanders as the safety blanket that Case Keenum doesn't have in this game, that he's not able to take advantage of that. And so there are things that worked against the Broncos this week, and it sucks. But the truth is, if this team was really a playoff team, if this team was really a team that could contend in the AFC, they would have beaten a bad 2-10 San Francisco 49ers team with those injuries and then some. This is a team that is not ready. And they're not ready because the people who are supposed to prepare them didn't do it. And I will point directly at Von Miller as the perfect example of this. Von Miller's offsides penalties that he eventually got punished for, or what, he sat out for like the last 30 seconds of the first half, they were hurting the team, and he kept doing it. Now, if Vance Joseph was really a good head coach and really had a hold of his team, Von Miller would have been sitting down after the second one. He'd have missed an entire series, and the Broncos would have given up points probably, but the message would have been sent. And I love Von Miller. We're all about the Orange Rush here. But that was, it was incredulous to me. Incredibly, it was, what's the word I'm looking for here, Ian? It was malfeasance on his part to keep doing that and keep doing that and keep doing that. That's not a tax. He likes to call it a tax. That's not a tax. That's you being selfish. That's Von Miller being selfish, trying to pad his stats, trying to get to the quarterback so that he can get the sack and not worried about just playing his assignment. Because he kept doing it. Once, okay. Twice, more than that? Get out of here with that. And that's on Vance Joseph for allowing that to continue. That's the kind of stuff that a bad head coach allows to happen. And he allowed it to happen for an entire half. And then he pulled him for the last 30 seconds. Ooh.
I'm going to plop this out there and expect it to perform.
Nicely done.
But I think what Von Miller jumping offsides like that three times shows to me is desperation. He knew his team was on the ropes, and he had to step up as the leader on the team. It ended up hurting his team in terms of offsides penalties, but I think he felt desperation that he needed to do something to make a play, to do something to change the tide for his team, because he could see that it was on the ropes, and if he didn't do it, no one else was going to do it. That doesn't excuse the fact that you can't do that on three instances, but I do think that it does reek of desperation, and the fact that he was trying to save his team by doing something, anything, to get them off the ropes.
That's an interesting take. I'm going to give you a little pushback on this, because if that's the case, then it shows that he doesn't really trust his other teammates to get the job done. And the truth is, the last 3 weeks, Shelby Harris has been on point. Adam Gotsis has been good. Domantas Peko has been good at run stuffing. Bradley Chubb has been good on the other side, getting to the quarterback. You have to trust your guys to do their job. And if that's really what's going on, and he's pressing because he doesn't think anybody else is going to be able to get it done, well, what in the last 3 weeks told Von Miller that that was the case? Because it wasn't the case. The defensive line has been good. And if you're telling me that Chris Harris Jr. being out behind him in the secondary is what's causing him to over, you know, I guess get too excited at the line, that's, you got to trust your teammates at a certain point. And if it had been in the second half and they'd been getting blown out and he was trying to get something done, then it would have made sense. But in the first half, he's wrong on both accounts then. Either way, he's got to let his teammates do their job. Because when he's offsides like that,
we can't have it both ways. We can't say that he needs to take over games and wreck them, and then when he does it, even if it's in a situation where he doesn't do the right thing, and then call him out for it. It's got to be one or the other.
Yes, you can. This isn't having it both ways. I'm not making a cake and then also eating it, which I still don't understand that saying, but I digress. You want him to wreck games, but you can't wreck games when you're wrecking the game. And when you are over pursuing or when you are overdoing because you're not trusting your teammates, that's a problem. I don't want him to wreck games because he's the only guy out there. I want him to wreck games because he's the best player on the field. And if you're pressing because you don't trust your teammates to do their job, and you think that that's the way to wreck the game is to try and time the snap every time, and you're going off sides and you're not, and then you are wrecking the game. But it's in a negative way. I get what you're saying. We want him to be visible. We want him to be the guy on the field. We want him to take over. And taking over means getting to the quarterback and causing turnovers and being disruptive. It doesn't mean being undisciplined. And that's the problem. I want him to wreck games just as much as the next guy. We talk about it all the time. But you have to have discipline. And if you don't do it in a disciplined way, then you are going to fail. And you are going to cause your team to fail. Now, I'm not blaming Von Miller for this loss. I don't lay this loss at his feet. I don't think that what he did is such a terrible offense that we should be sitting here yelling about how terrible he is. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, the point I'm making is that Vance Joseph needed to put a stop to that sooner. Vance Joseph needed to step in and say, "Hey, Von, you're going to get to the quarterback. Let's do it the right way." He needed to step in and he needed to calm him down sooner. And he didn't do that. He let it roll. And maybe that's because Von Miller is who Von Miller is. But a good head coach would have stepped in and said, "Von, we're good, man. We don't need that. That's not helping. We don't need it. Trust us. We trust you. Believe in us. We believe in you. Let's go out and do this together." Now he relaxes. Now he's out there playing like he's supposed to play. And he's not pushing. He's not pressing. Because when you're pushing and you're pressing, you're usually not being successful. When Von's out there having fun and he's getting to the quarterback and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, that's when he's successful. So for me, in my opinion, it's not about Von being a bad football player or a bad leader or a bad guy. It's about Vance Joseph allowing him to continue to press and continue to do those things that were hurting the team and not stepping in and telling him he didn't need to do that. So I guess maybe what you're taking is an admonishment of Von Miller there, and it was a little because I wanted him to stop doing it on his own, is more, in my opinion, or at least the way that I'm trying to present it, it's more an admonishment? Sure, why not? It's of Vance Joseph. Because...
And I think that in and of itself is why this game resulted in the way that it did. Is because Vance Joseph, Joe Woods, and Bill Musgrave got completely and utterly destroyed in terms of coaching. Kyle Shanahan ran laps around Vance Joseph today. I mean, as I said in the winners, losers, because I had Joe Woods as a loser, apparently the only guy in America who didn't know George Kittle was the only weapon on offense for the San Francisco 49ers was Joe Woods.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it is ridiculous. I mean, we know the Broncos can't cover tight ends. So you would think that the one thing that you could do is probably put more than one guy on him and not play zone with George Kittle. Because the one thing that I'm not going to accept is excuses for the way this team performed and the preparation for it. I get that Chris Harris Jr. was out. I get that Emmanuel Sanders was out. This team can't cover tight ends when Chris Harris Jr. is on the field. So he wouldn't have made a difference in that aspect. George Kittle still would have torched that no-fly zone or the frequent flyer zone, which was back and in full effect again today. And then with Emmanuel Sanders, Case Keenum still didn't have time to throw the football. He was doing three-step drops and had a guy in his face as soon as he took that third step. He wouldn't have had time to throw the ball to Emmanuel Sanders. And with the way he was throwing, it probably would have been either behind him or short.
Yes.
So I don't think either of those guys would have made a big difference in this game today with the way that it unfolded.
I agree with that.
Because it's the issues that they had even when they were on the field. And that's coaching. That's Vance Joseph. That's Bill Musgrave. That's Joe Woods. Bill Musgrave cannot be the offensive coordinator anymore. I mean, we talked about it. He didn't run a single run play from the 1 yard line.
Yeah, I don't
this
get
is
that.
The guy who described his offense earlier in the season as a smash mouth power football team, and he throws four straight passes. He got bailed out because Deshaun Hamilton was wide open.
Because even that, San Francisco didn't believe that they were going to run four straight passes.
Exactly. I don't even know what to say anymore. As I said on Twitter, this is how Vance Joseph does with challenges. This is his philosophy. If it's something so obvious he should challenge it, he doesn't. If it's something that's so obvious he shouldn't, he does it. He has no idea what he's doing with situational football, with play calling, with time management. He's now 1-for-6 this season on challenges.
It's
clear he's not going to get fired. The video coordinator probably should, if he's the one telling him, yeah, challenge that catch that we think is a fumble. No, because you just wasted a timeout. It's just, this goes back to stuff that I noticed even over the course of that 3-game winning streak. It's why I had him as a loser after the Chargers game. I wanted to put him as a loser against the Steelers, but I put him in the winners group because I wanted to throw everyone a bone. Three-game winning streak masked the same issues with this football team, and it's all coaching related.
Yeah. Like I said, we've been drinking sand this whole time. We really have. And it's difficult because we know that there's enough talent on this team to be competitive. And I love the rookies. I like the fact that there were guys out there today that are young, that are going to hopefully be with the team for a while. I like Tim Patrick. I think he's a solid wide receiver who's going to contribute. Deshaun Hamilton gets his first touchdown. That's fantastic. Cortland Sutton maybe didn't play as well as I would have liked, but, you know, he's going to have his ups and downs as a rookie. They bottled up Phillip Lindsay, and so Royce Freeman actually looked pretty good on his carries. What did he have, something like 36 yards on 6 carries? That's 6 yards a carry. So there were some positives if you want to dig for them. Like if you want to really dig for some positives, Bradley Chubb got another sack. You know, I mean, he's on pace to...
Two sacks.
That's right, 2 sacks. Excuse me, I apologize. I should never shortchange Chubb.
You don't
Chubb.
Have to dig too far for Chubb.
No. Chubb's there. Yeah, I shouldn't have shorted Chubb on that, and I apologize. But those
it's important to point out with Chubb, he now has the Broncos rookie record, which was set by Von Miller. The old mark was 11.5. Bradley Chubb now has 12. There is, as I said in the winners and losers story, he's now 3 sacks away from setting the all-time NFL rookie sack record of 14.5 set by Javon Kearse in 1999. That's something that we can all root for. That's something that should fire up Broncos fans because that's a hell of a season for a rookie to set the all-time NFL rookie sack record. And he needs 3 sacks to do it. He has 3 games in which to do it. And if he does it, he should absolutely positively be the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. No questions asked. Just he did it in the passing game. He had those 2 sacks, but he also had 3 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 2 quarterback hits. That's something that we can all celebrate and appreciate because he's basically Von Miller Jr. at this point.
Well, and some might tell you he's kind of Von Miller Sr. right now. With the fact that he's out there doing what he's doing. I mean, it's you're right. He's your silver lining. So are the other rookies, I think. I think there's upside here. And I don't want it to be all, you know, sky's falling, the the games are over, nothing matters. These games still matter. And I know the draft Knicks out there are going to go, oh, you got to keep losing now because you want to get the best draft possible. Well, no, I think that I like Andrew Mason's take a few weeks ago about how these games matter because you want these young guys to learn how to win. And so I'm going to continue to root for wins this season, but I'm also going to continue to root for growth. These rookies need to keep showing growth, and maybe that will result in some wins, but if nothing else, it will at least result in hopefully a defensive rookie of the year for Bradley Chubb with a new sack record for rookies, and just more accolades for Philip Lindsay and more stuff for Royce Freeman and Deshaun Hamilton and Cortland Sutton. And look, there's good things out there. It just wasn't on the field in San Francisco. And I think that everybody in Broncos country, all of us, are feeling a little bit shocked, angry, ticked off, disappointed. I don't know. You name your emotion, but I personally was angry. I got done watching this game, I was angry. And even the hilarity of them, you know, of the 49ers screwing up the formation, the victory formation, and taking a knee too early and all that stuff, even in all that hilarity, you still walk away and go, what was that? It was terrible. It was terrible, and it was unacceptable. But it's not going to matter. And I think that takes us back to that point about Vance Joseph. It's not going to matter. He's still going to be the head coach next year. I truly believe that.
I'm going to list a couple of other winners that I had on top of Bradley Chubb. I had Tim Patrick. There wasn't much that went right for the Broncos, but Patrick had himself a day. His reception on fourth down that resulted in Philip Lindsay's touchdown was massive. The heart and passion Patrick played with was a sight for sore eyes, and he led the Broncos with 7 catches for 84 yards. And to some consternation from the Mile High Report community in the comment section, I did list Philip Lindsay as a touchdown. And like with Patrick, he played with massive heart and passion. And the fact that he had 14 carries for 30 yards, that's not on him. That's more of the fact that the offensive line was just atrocious on Sunday. They got absolutely blown up multiple times, pretty much the whole game by the 49ers.
Yeah, the whole time.
I had an honorable mention for Royce Freeman, as you said, finished with 6 carries for 36 yards. And then I included Deshaun Hamilton. The rookie receiver had his first career touchdown, so that puts you in the winner's list. Hamilton had 7 receptions for 47 yards and a touchdown. So that pretty much does it for the winners.
There's your winners. I mean, most of that was rookies, right? I mean, I don't see any. They're all young guys. That's a futures kind of thing, right? That was a futures winners. I liked that. I think that should make Broncos country feel good, knowing that. Yeah, you could disagree with Lindsay. I think you could have probably left him off, I don't think he's a loser either. I think you leave him off as just he's not on the list, period. But he still scored. He still impacted the game. I mean, the one thing you can say is they keyed on him. And they bottled him up in a way that it would have been nice. They could have taken if they could have taken advantage of the fact that they were keying on Lindsay early, and they just couldn't do it. And I don't know why they reverted back to the sort of horrible play calling that we saw earlier in the season, but they did. Musgrave took a step back, decided to, you know, go back to being terrible, and you saw the result. So I'm angry because my 55-10 prediction didn't come true, and it's all Musgrave's fault. Maybe that's my anger.
Well, and Vance Joseph's. And Joe Woods.
Yes, thank you.
Because I still cannot get over just how bad Vance Joseph is at all of this. I mean, it's almost like he's trying to be this bad.
Yeah, that's
it. Really,
a good
doesn't
point.
Make any sense. It really does not make any sense because he's not getting better. He has not shown on any level that he has any of this figured out. That he's improving. that he's going to get it figured out, because he's not going to.
Yeah.
And if John Elway decides to stick with Vance Joseph, as you said that you're convinced he will,
I think he will.
I'm still holding out hope that John Elway will see the light. Because if it's not, it doesn't matter what these rookies do. It doesn't matter that I listed three rookies with Chubb, Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, and Deshaun Hamilton, and then Tim Patrick, who's basically a rookie, but he was on the Broncos practice squad last year as a rookie. So that counts as a year.
Yeah, it counts.
But it won't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
It won't matter as long as Vance Joseph is the head coach, because the same crap is going to continue.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, we get done with a game that if the Broncos win that game, they're in the driver's seat. And yeah, they got to win every other game on the way out, but they're really in the driver's seat. And at this point, it's doom and gloom. And just kind of briefly looking ahead, their next opponent, it's the Browns, right? It's the Browns. Should be a win. They're going to be featured on Saturday night next week. And it should be a win. And I don't think I can predict a win for the Broncos against the Browns on a Saturday
night.
I'm
not going to.
I'm not going to tell you what my prediction is now.
Baker Mayfield is playing.
Oh, Jeff's going to struggle with that game. Just sort of off the top of my head, you said Baker Mayfield, and I can feel Jeffrey Essery struggling a little bit to you know. I mean, he's a Broncos fan, but man, he loves him some Baker Mayfield.
Brandon Quinn.
Yeah, Brandon will struggle too. So I think we all will, because a lot of us wanted to see Baker Mayfield in orange and blue, not orange and brown.
The OU fan Jennifer.
Yeah, that's right. The OU fan Jennifer. Yes, absolutely.
To me, I'm not going to wait for the preview. I'm going to say this right now.
Okay.
I think this loss is going to crush the Broncos. And I think Baker Mayfield is going to absolutely come out and lay wood to the Broncos defense.
Yeah, I agree. And I would advise people to go out and pick up David Njoku if he's available in your fantasy league during the playoff run here, because I think he's going to put up a lot of points. He's going to score many, many points.
I wonder how they're going to – I wonder what tape they're going to put on. I'm not sure. Is there a recent evidence of what Baker Mayfield and David Njoku are going to be able to do on Saturday night?
Does it even matter? We knew that George Kittle was the only weapon that San Francisco 49ers had on offense, and he ran roughshod all over this team. That, just to go back to that game, because to the game they just played, because I do think we need to go back to it. And you said it, and I'm going to reiterate it. George Kittle is the only weapon that the San Francisco 49ers have on offense, period. And you allowed him to go off. That's a fireable offense. That is something that should get somebody fired. Someone should lose their job today. And I hate to do that. One of those things where when you call for people's jobs, it's people's livelihoods and yada, yada, yada. But this is a results-driven industry, and the results bear out the fact that this should get somebody fired.
You want another fireable offense?
Give it to me.
These are the two stats that define this football game and also define this coaching staff. The Denver Broncos had a third down efficiency of 2 for 15.
I hadn't looked at
their fourth down efficiency was 5 for 7.
I'm sorry. I knew that we talked about it a little bit before we record, and you mentioned that, and I didn't know the numbers behind it. You just said 2 for 15. That really kind of hit me sideways. I didn't see that coming at all.
2 for 15 on third down.
I mean,
5 for 7 on fourth down. So basically, never punt?
I guess. I mean, Wadman actually, he did okay today, too. Not as good as he was, you know, in previous weeks, but still solid at the punting game, I suppose. I'm still trying to find a silver lining here. I'm just digging
for
happiness.
Six punts.
Yeah.
Six punts, average of 47.8, two inside the 20, a long of 55. So it, not as good as he was against the Bengals, but still very good, I think.
Well, you know what? It feels like...
He wasn't the reason they lost.
No.
And just like it, Case Keenum.
He wasn't punting from places where getting it inside the 20 was really possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was kind of, when he was kicking his punts, he was far enough back that if he had been pinning them inside the 20, that would have been really, really impressive. And so that doesn't surprise me that he was only, you know, 2 inside the 20, because he wasn't kicking from a place where he was going to kick it inside the 20 anyway. So pretty good, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, not the reason they lost. Neither was Case Keenum, although he was, I think, fairly inaccurate. I think he struggled with accuracy, but it's, you're right. It's hard to throw a football accurately when you have people running at you and trying to kill you. I get that. So,
and the play calling is as bad as it was. That's why I didn't list him as a winner or a loser.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say that the Broncos don't need a better quarterback and better quarterback play, because they do. And I don't think Case Keenum is the answer, but I don't think he negatively impacted the game, and he really didn't positively impact the game.
Right. You know, I noticed something during the game. I kind of want your take on it, because I was curious about it. And I threw the question out in Slack, and nobody took it as a – I think everybody thought it was rhetorical, but I really wanted to know. Case Keenum never throws the football to the running back in the flat. I mean, he'll throw checkdowns. And maybe I'm wording that wrong. He never like when he drops back to pass, if Philip Lindsay runs out to the right or to the left side of him and the rush is coming, he doesn't just turn and flip it out to the running back who runs out to towards the sideline. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that would have been something in the game that he could have used. There were a couple times where Lindsay was open, you know, 8 or 9 yards to his right or to his left, that if he would have just flipped it out there, he could have gone for 5 or 6 yards, but he never threw it to him in that position. And I didn't get that. I thought that would have been something he could have adjusted and used to his advantage, and he didn't do that. I don't know if that's play calling or if it's just he's not comfortable making that throw, but I'm just curious if you saw that.
I have, and it brings to mind something that we don't see in this offense. When was the last time you saw a screen from this offense?
I can't remember the last time I saw a screen. Yeah, I believe the answer I gave you of was the answer, right? That was I don't know.
And when you see a team that is sending pressure like the 49ers were consistently in this game, wouldn't that be a great time to throw in a couple of screen passes to a guy who is a playmaker?
Yeah.
Who is your playmaker?
Absolutely. I mean, the other thing that it does is it sort of keeps the defense honest. They can't just send everybody. They have to honor that play if you run that play. But for whatever reason, they don't want to run the screen. That's a really good point. Why don't they run a screen more often? Why don't they put Royce Freeman and Philip Lindsay on the field and run screens and run? There's so many options that they could be doing things with these guys that would be effective, and then they don't do it. And I don't get that. And the other thing we didn't see today was a 50-50 ball to Courtland Sutton. Not one. No, I take that back. We saw one.
I think it was the first play of the game.
Yeah, first play of the game. And then they didn't do it anymore.
Just Bill Musgrave was like, oh, well, we did that. Check that off the list.
The old boxes. I'm ticking the boxes, you guys. I got that one early. Like, what are you doing? Go back to it. Just because you ticked the box once, and again, you were right. Case Keenum was running for his life. The offensive line was bad, but, I mean, they didn't do anything right in this game. Nada. They did nothing right until the end. And then they still didn't do things right.
I just have to reiterate. The Broncos lost to a team that couldn't do the victory formation right. That's how bad the 49ers were.
Yeah. I mean, when you're on your third starting quarterback of the season, because of injury, but your third starting quarterback of the season, and you're able to beat a team, you probably feel pretty good about yourself, pat yourself on the back. And I know that they had some success in this, what is it, Nate Mullins, whatever his name is. Like, it matters. I still don't think it matters. They had some success with him in his first game. The truth is, he's a third-string quarterback for a reason, and the Broncos made him look like Joe Montana out there a little bit.
The thing that makes me so mad about this game is I watched the Ravens and the Chiefs, and watching that young quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, I now know how Kansas City Chiefs fans felt over the course of the 80s and throughout the 90s. Because that throw that Patrick Mahomes made on fourth down that he completed to Tyreek Hill, that was John Elway. That is as close to John Elway in the NFL that we have seen since John Elway. I mean, he threw that ball across his body, across the field, basically, what, at least 35 yards?
On a rope. I mean, it was like he set it in a rocket and it just shot across the field. I mean, it was, yeah, it sort of makes you long for the days of when you had that on your team. It's like, what do you got
to
do?
And it pisses me off that the Kansas City Chiefs did what they needed to do to get a first-round quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, let's not forget, they were high on Paxton Lynch. They would have been happy to have taken him. John Elway made a move, went up and got him, worked out for the Chiefs and not for the Broncos. The Broncos weren't the only team that were high on Paxton Lynch when they drafted him. It's just too bad that they were able to get him, because if they hadn't got him, we'd be singing a different tune. Something would be different. And who knows what it would be, but it would be different. It is frustrating to be on this side of it. And I suppose that's what sports is. It's the pendulum swing. It's the back and forth. And supposedly that'll swing back at some point and we'll have the quarterback and they won't. But I have a feeling that for many, many years to come, Patrick Mahomes is going to be a thorn in Broncos country's side. And that doesn't feel good at all. It feels yucky.
It does feel yucky.
Yeah.
And the other thing that feels yucky about this loss is the fact that the Ravens and the Steelers both lost.
Yep. Doesn't help. Didn't make me feel any better. Made me feel worse. And losing to Kyle Shanahan, I think, is another one, because it just opens up the conversation of we should have hired him. John Elway should have hired Shanahan and not Vance Joseph. And like, maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. I don't really know. I will say this. The 49ers are prepared to play every week. They don't win every week, but they're prepared to play every week. I'll bet they have good practices too. I'm sure they do. But I'm sort of ready to move on from that particular conversation. There's no need to continue to point the finger and say, well, why didn't you hire him? Because he didn't. John Elway hired Vance Joseph. What we really need to be screaming about is, when are they going to fire Vance Joseph? And it'll probably be sometime around, I'm going to guess, maybe November of 2019. That's my guess.
I hope not. I really hope not. I'm holding out hope. I am holding out hope that this is the end. Because as you asked all those months ago, what more does he have to prove? That he is incompetent, that he is an idiot, that he doesn't know what he's doing, and he won't know what he's doing no matter how much time you give him. He's not going to figure it out. And all you're doing is delaying the inevitable. You're holding your organization back. You're holding away. Cannot make that move. Then it's time to move on from John Elway.
Yeah. I mean, if he can't fire him, then he's got to be fired. That's the point that has to be made there. You know,
I mean, this was a playoff game.
Yeah.
This was a playoff game. And that's how they looked. That's how they prepared. That's how they played. That's how the coaches coached. Every single situation in that game, they lost. There isn't a moment in that game they won. From the start to the finish, they lost. I don't know what more John Elway or this organization needs to see.
That's a... I don't have anything for you, Ian. I really don't. It's just it's frustrating. They needed to win out. They didn't win out. And so now here we are on to what are we on to now?
Hopefully the end of the season.
Yeah, it's coming. It's too bad, but it's coming.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation. And I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.